Proverbs chapter 15, and we have been working our way through through the book of Proverbs for the last 7 years now. And in 7 years, we're only up to chapter 15, verse 1. As many of you know, we spend quite a bit of time looking at and analyzing each verse in a successive way. We do not skip around. We move from verse to verse to verse. And this morning, in God's providence, we are at chapter 15, verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. A bad temper causes more suffering than can actually be imagined. It has been likened in the home to what a toothache is in the body. It is a pain that is absolutely unbelievable. And I know, Chris, you know plenty about a toothache. While it creates so much pain, yet it is not treated as something that is as serious as what it is. This in reference to being a toothache. Well, anger is the very same way. This anger, this bad temper, can cause more suffering than you can even imagine. A man or woman who is given to their temper spreads a sense of irritation in the home or in the workplace. And then while everyone else who either lives with them or works with them moves about as though they had to walk around on eggshells because they don't want to set off an explosion. Life for them would be divided between the anxiety of trying to avoid an explosion or the painful effort to repair whatever takes place, whatever devastations there are. We are not severe enough on these sins because temper is a sin. And we're not severe enough on ourselves with these sins of our temper. We are, on the other hand, prone to excuse them. And in many cases, we are prone to excuse them on the grounds that it is just our temperament. It's just how I am. That's just how I am. That's my temperament that I have. As if we are not responsible for those outbreaks. But the book of Proverbs is literally filled with warnings about this subject. As we have seen already up to this point in the previous chapters, 1 through 14. Losing our temper is a constant problem of strife. It's not something new to any one of us. We all know what it's like. We all know what it's like to be on the receiving end. And we all know what it's like to be the person that has lost their temper. It is not only a constant problem of strife in the home and the workplace, but it is also a problem in the family. It is not even just limited to the family. It is also and can be seen in the church as well. And this loss of temper has a tendency to grow with each outburst. And then it becomes ungovernable. You can't control it any longer. Proverbs 29:22. We're going to look at several verses this morning. Proverbs 29:22 says that an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. As I mentioned, the book of Proverbs speaks much about this thing called temper and becoming angry, and how that it stirs up strife. When one becomes angry with, and it's generally not with something, but it's generally with someone, and it has that tendency to stir up strife. An angry temper can even bring disruption into an entire city. Proverbs 29, verse 8. Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. A wise man will turn away this wrath. He will seek to appease this and turn it away. R.H. Horton says that there are always hot embers which wise men are earnestly trying to damp down. There are trivial irritations, petty annoyances, incipient envies, which are only too easily inflamed. The cool spirit and a conciliatory word, and that means someone that seeks to win over an angry person, and an ingenious diversion of thought will keep those embers choked until the heat dies away. So what is he actually saying there? He's actually saying that these hot embers of anger that are always just ready to start that fire, that the wise man is trying to damp down those embers and trying to put them down and to cause that heat to dissipate. And it can happen, just as he says, those trivial irritations, just something that is very minor, but it irritates you. A little petty annoyance, envying, those things can be so easily inflamed. And it's those hot embers that are right there all the time, and all you have to do is just fan them a little bit and they just burst into a flame. But that person that is of a cool spirit, that has that conciliatory word, that is going to seek to bring those things down, dampen those, that is a wise man. Proverbs 26:21, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. So the book of Proverbs says that it's just like that, as Mr. Horton described. There's much caution about giving this kind of inflammatory character a wide berth. Chapter 22, verse 24. 22:24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. We need to give, if we recognize someone that has that inflammatory character, we need to give that person a wide berth. In other words, steer clear of them. And then even the sweet-tempered person can be snared into this sin by the other person's constant irritations. Because when this unbridled and ill-disciplined person approaches, we should avoid them even as if they were the plague. Proverbs 17:12. Proverbs 12 says, let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. In other words, God says in His Word here in the book of Proverbs that it would be better to meet a bear that had been robbed of her cubs than it would be to meet an angry man in his foolishness. It's exactly what that means. That's a very vivid description. This leads us to notice that anger and folly is merely a lack of understanding and being foolish. that anger and folly are very closely linked together. Proverbs 14, verse 17. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Anyone with a grain of sense will put a check upon their rising temper. And his discretion in this case, where that he becomes slow to anger, and we look, and in God's providence, we just looked at this in James chapter 1 and verse 19, where we are to be swift to hear, we are to be slow to speak, and slow to anger. So James is saying the same thing that Solomon is saying here in the book of Proverbs. This person that puts a check upon their rising temper, his discretion will make him slow to anger. And he never feels to have won a true victory. There is nothing greater than this. If you want a sense of victory over something, as when you are able to bridle your tongue and bridle that wrath and let it pass over as an offense without any sign of annoyance or resentment. When you're able to do that, you have then won a victory. Proverbs 19, verse 11. Proverbs 19, verse 11 says that the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. But what do we do when we feel ourselves affronted, or when we feel someone injure our pride or become angry with us? The very first response is that we are going to become angry with them. The book of Proverbs says that the discretion of a man deferreth his anger. That means he puts his anger away. And it is to his glory to pass over that transgression. Horton again says that when you see a person who cautiously avoids the ground where strife is apt to be excited, and builds his house on a spot where contention is impossible, you instinctively respect that person because you know it speaks of his wisdom. But when you see a man who is always getting involved in arguments, always throwing a fit of anger, you can rightly conclude that that person is a fool. Proverbs 20, verse 3. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. Proverbs 29, verse 11. Over just a couple of chapters. 29, verse 11. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards. And haven't you known people like that? They're just going to be right in the middle of a problem. They're going to be right in the middle of an argument. And it's so much so that they seem to want to get involved in that argument. They want to have that argument. I know that over the many years of working, I've seen many people like this. Many people like this many times that are in management positions, that they're given over to anger. We recently had someone in our workplace that actually had to attend anger management courses. Now, if we are naturally irritable, if our tendency is to that, to irritability, wisdom will incline us to avoid the occasions which are going to get us stirred up and will help to keep a watchful guard over our spirits where the occasions are inevitable. But if we are neglectful of taking the precautions and heeding the warnings, as the scripture says, we are a fool. And then these outbreaks of anger will only lead to further and further and further outbreaks. The person whose spirit is without restraint is compared to what we read in Proverbs 25, verse 28. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. So if you do not have any restraint over your temper, the scriptures say that you're like a city that's broken down and doesn't have any walls around it. Here's a word picture of what happens when there's no restraint over our spirit. It's like a train. It's like a train that's carrying dynamite. So you have this train that's carrying that dynamite, and when you have the slightest word or a smirk or a shrug of the shoulders or some unintentional slight or even silence itself, sometimes those things will set a spark that will set off that dynamite. And then there's an explosion which is so destructive that you can hardly believe it. Proverbs 19:19. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. For if thou delivereth him, yet thou must do it again. A man that is given over to that anger is going to have to bear the consequences of his temper. Just like this person that I spoke about in the workplace that had to attend these anger management classes. He lost his job. But he was delivered time and time and time again. He was given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. But it was never corrected. And he finally lost his job. And now he's going to have to bear the consequences of that. He's going to have to bear the consequences of that when he goes to look for another job, because that's going to follow him. And in the business that I'm in, it's a very small world, and people know everybody out there. And that word travels very quickly. Then you have those that say, "I just can't help it. I just can't help my temper." This is nothing more than an excuse. And it's an excuse that we can't excuse. Our constitution is not an excuse for sin. The most that can be said about it is that we are prone, that when we are prone to some particular sin, then we need to seek special strength to empower us against it. If you're going to build a home, and you're going to build a home near a raging river, it is most certain that the side that is most exposed to the danger is going to have the strongest reinforcement. It will have the most rebar. It will be the finest material will be used to make sure that it's going to be able to stand all of the forces against it. So if you're prone, even in the area of our health, if you're prone to some sickness, some allergy, some disease, what do? You're very careful. You're very careful to avoid any exposure to whatever it is that that would cause some sort of an outbreak in your body. Or that would make you sick. And in the same way, if you are given over to a short temper, and you are easily provoked, or if you're apt to fall into depression, these two go hand in hand actually. If some sudden annoyance sets you off, or causes you to carry around some sort of bitterness in your heart, which is actually like the planting of little seeds, which begin to grow very quickly into something more severe, then you've got your work cut out for you. And your daily task should be to avoid those things that produce those kind of effects. And start cultivating habits which lessen those things and those violent actions, which are actually like a poison. So if you know that, you need to avoid it. You need to avoid the things that will produce those kinds of effects in your life. And it's not merely about avoiding it. It's about cultivating. It's not enough just to pull up weeds. Something else has to be planted. It's about cultivating a habit that is going to lessen those things. Very often we don't realize, I think, how much our constitution is under our control. And how much we ourselves have to do with controlling it. And I think many times it's because we don't want to accept the responsibility of our sin. We seem to justify it. And we justify it by saying that as long as I can't do anything about it, I'm really not responsible for it. So as long as we take that attitude, where it's just the way I am, I can't do anything about it, I really don't have to accept the responsibility. And certainly, I wouldn't have to accept the consequences if that is our stance. So if you are easily brought into arguing, then before you go out into the business of the day, whether it's at a job or whether it's in the home or whether it's with your children, as Proverbs 25:8, chapter 25, verse 8, go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. The realization of what will probably happen from a hasty temper, just that right there, the realization of that should actually act as a check upon that temper. And then you will be inclined to behave yourself wisely. As the psalmist David said, and you don't need to turn there, but it's Psalm 101, verse 2, how that David behaved himself wisely. And if this is something that comes on you of a sudden, or as a surprise, and Satan will tempt us in this way. He knows our frame very well, and he comes at us many times in a very subtle way, and very much as a surprise. Proverbs 17, verse 14. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. In other words, the beginning of this arguing and this strife is like one that is letting out water. And once you let it out, there's no bringing it back. There's no getting it back. Therefore, the writer to the Proverbs says, the writer of the Proverbs says that leave off this contention. Don't even meddle with it. Chapter 20, verse 3. Just back over a couple of pages. Chapter 20, verse 3. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. You want honor? It's honor to cease from strife. It's honor to cease from arguing. So when you know your danger, when you know those things that you're most prone to bring you into that sin, you must summon everything within your power and remember that this is the time and the occasion to exercise that. You know, others may have to fight on the battlefield. They may have to take cities in times of war. But you know what? This is where your battle is. And this is the city that you need to take. Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. God says in His Word here that the person that is slow to anger is better than the mighty man. The mighty man that may have been involved in wartime and taking a city, that is nothing by comparison to the person that controls his spirit within him and is slow to anger. It is more difficult in that battle than it is in that physical battle of warfare. So says the Word of God. Proverbs 10, verse 12. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. Horton says again, if you are prone to be easily angered with others, fill your spirit with love to them. And that will soothe your irritable nerves and will flow over their sins so that they cease to annoy you because you cease to see them. You cease to see those sins at that point. So when we are fervent in love, and if you remember, Bill spoke to us last week that love is an action word. Love takes action. So if you're fervent in love, having or showing very warm or an intense spirit, that feeling of enthusiasm to one another, that love, that type of love, covers a multitude of sins. But when we're focusing, when we become angry with a person, when we lose our temper with a person, all we can see at that point is what? It's certainly not love. All we can see are their sins toward us. And we become at that point so focused upon those little sins and those little annoyances that then we become so angry and so stirred up. And so this thing just goes back and forth and there's no end to it. But when you love that other person and you love that person, other person actively with a sense of feeling and a sense of enthusiasm, Then those things go away. You don't see them anymore. Because love does cover a multitude of sins. That's how I want you to love me. I want you to love me that way. I don't want you to love me in some haphazard way. I don't want you to tell me that you love me. I want you to show me that you love me. Actively. It's an action word. And I want you to be intense about it and have enthusiasm about it. And then there's not going to be any room for this angry spirit or depression of spirit. 1 Peter 4:8. Way back in the New Testament now. 1 Peter 4:8. What does Peter say? And above all things, have fervent charity. And charity there is love. Above all things, have fervent charity, love among yourselves. For love shall cover a multitude of sins. And that fervency there is soundness and self-control. It's having self-control and earnestness. When this sort of love comes into the soul, at that point we are more anxious to convert that person and those who offend us than to be angry with them. Love actually saves us from our self-arrogance, which only exposes us to all those annoyances when we're self-arrogant. And it enables us to bear all things. Love will do that. And it enables us to bear all things without even a ruffle. Paul spoke this morning about when someone is going to be married. And they're so much in love that they just want to be with one another all the time. And there's nothing that that person can do to upset the other person. Why? Because that person loves them so much that they just overlook it. That's that type of love that's spoken of here in relationship to anger and temper. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Again, the word charity is used, and that is for love. Love suffereth long, is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. That's what love is like. That's a description of love. Love can actually be the destruction of an evil temper. Love can be the destruction of that evil temper that we are all so prone to have and exercise so often. More often than not. And that brings us halfway. That brings us halfway in looking at Proverbs 15, verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And this evening, we will look at the conclusion the second half and the conclusion of this message regarding having the soft answer that turneth away wrath. Shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the precious, precious Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that your Word is true. There is no error. There is no mistakes. There is no contradiction. It is the Word of God. It is truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We thank you for it. And we thank you, Lord, for that which you have taught us this morning regarding our tempers and how that we are so prone. Every one of us are so prone to this. And we thank you for that teaching that you give us out of your Word concerning this. And we pray, Lord, that we might put these things off, that we might exercise the restraint that we have heard about this morning regarding our temper, our hard and coarse words that we use so often. We pray, Lord, that we might learn what it means, as we will see tonight in greater detail, how that love does cover a multitude of sins in this area. And we do ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn now to in our Psalm.